Inside the Detective Bureau. Revenge of the Ghost Mayor. Mayor Sutherland was in the Detective Bureau, speaking to Detectives Linda Neeskens and Donnie Rep about some local issues that he thought required their attention. He had gone into some detail about the proposed increase in library fines and the new Pelican Crossing, and was just about to begin speaking about a third issue when he was interrupted by the voice of Chief Gonzalez.
For the first and last time, will you two please stop talking about local issues in here? That's what we've got a town hall for, isn't it? So people like you have got somewhere to talk about light pollution and cattle grids.
Don't worry about the Chief, Your Honour. He isn't particularly interested in local affairs.
No, he's more focused on complex securities fraud and international terrorism.
That's quite all right. I don't expect all detectives to be as locally focused as you two. Perhaps we could continue our discussion elsewhere?
Chief Gonzalez heard the sound of the two detectives leaving the office and closing the door behind them, finally leaving him in peace to yell at the police radio.
Come on, ISIS. We're ready for you.
But ISIS wasn't listening. Later, Chief Gonzalez questioned Neeskens and Rep about their earlier conversation.
Now, what was all that rubbish you were shouting about in there this afternoon?
Actually, Chief, we were talking to Mayor Sutherland about some important local issues.
Following a brief moment of silence, Chief Gonzalez suddenly got up and ran from the table. Shortly afterwards, the sound of wailing could be heard coming from his office, and Monica, Chief Gonzalez's secretary, was forced to speak to Detective Rep quite firmly.
That was extremely insensitive of you, Detective. You know Chief Gonzalez was charged with Mayor Sutherland's murder last week, so mentioning him here was not well-mannered.
Mayor Sutherland murdered? It's the first I've heard of that.
And if he's been murdered, who was that we were talking to earlier?
That night, as Neeskens and Rep were driving home, they discussed what had happened earlier.
Turns out Chief Gonzalez was charged with Mayor Sutherland's murder last Friday.
I've known Chief Gonzalez for 25 years, and I know for a fact that the only people he's ever murdered were tramps and school teachers and bus drivers and postmen and people like that. He'd never murder anyone important like a mayor.
Sounds like we need to find that ghost mayor and clear the chief's name.
Early the next morning, Neeskens and Rep headed directly to the fish and chip shop to get some breakfast and squeeze a bit of information out of proprietor Jackie Millions.
Good morning, you two. The usual, is it?
Yes, please. Two battered saveloys and a pound of scraps.
Here you go. Had them ready and waiting.
Thank you.
So, Jackie Millions, while we're here, why don't you tell us everything you know about the ghost of Mayor Sutherland?
I don't know much, but I heard that someone murdered the mayor last week, and ever since then he's been appearing in spectral form to discuss local issues with interested citizens.
He was talking to us yesterday about the new Pelican Crossing.
I had a very similar experience. Only last night, Mayor Sutherland appeared just over there and spoke for almost half an hour about planting some flowers on a roundabout that would spell out the name of the town when they bloom in the springtime.
We need to find him to discuss his murder. Do you know if he's likely to reappear in your shop anytime soon?
I'm afraid I don't, but if he does, I'll let you know. I'm always happy to help Neeskens and Rep.
Thank you.
You owe me 580 for your breakfast.
Goodbye, Jackie Millions.
The two detectives left the shop, leaving Jackie Millions in a blind rage. Without pausing even to wipe their mouths or attend to their greasy fingers with a piece of tissue, Neeskens and Rep went to see the woman Mayor Sutherland had been married to for the 30 years before he was murdered.
Do you know Mayor Sutherland?
Yes. Do you know who murdered him?
No.
Do you know the current whereabouts of his ghost?
No.
Neeskens and Rep proceeded to the next house to ask the people there if they knew where Mayor Sutherland's ghost was, or if they knew who murdered him. Their plan was to knock on the door of every single house in the entire town in order to locate the murderer via what Neeskens called
a process of elimination.
2 days later, they had knocked on the door of every single house in the whole town, except one.
Shall we go and knock on the door of that house or not bother?
I'm afraid this process doesn't work unless we knock on every door in the town. If we miss even one door, we run the risk of the murderer escaping justice.
Something about this house is very familiar.
Chief Gonzalez was looking at a website about terrorism when he heard someone knocking at the front door of his house. But because he was very interested in the terrorism website, he decided the knocking was probably for someone else, and he ignored it. Meanwhile, Niskins and Rep were standing in the porch of the last house in town, waiting for someone to answer the door. But after 20 minutes of sustained knocking, they decided to give up.
There can be no question about it. Mayor Sutherland's murderer lives at this address.
The evidence speaks for itself.
When the two detectives arrived back at the detective bureau a few hours later, they found Chief Gonzalez relaxing in his office, almost as though he knew he definitely wasn't going to prison anymore for murdering Mayor Sutherland.
Chief, we know where the person who murdered Mayor Sutherland lives.
That reminds me. Jackie Millions telephoned earlier to say Mayor Sutherland's ghost had appeared in his shop again.
Niskins and Rep raced from the chief's office, jumped into their car and drove off at high speed towards Jackie Millions' shop.
If we can speak to Mayor Sutherland's ghost, we can confirm the identity of his murderer.
Also, we can get some more food and not pay for it. I'm planning to have 2 large pieces of haddock, a fish cake, a sausage, a pound of scraps, a battered sausage, a jumbo sausage, a battered jumbo sausage, a saveloy, a battered saveloy, a jumbo battered saveloy, 3 pickled eggs, and another pound of scraps.
I really like the food from Jackie Millions' shop. But the thing I like even more is that we always don't pay for it.
Yes, I heard that his shop is closing down for some reason.
One mystery at a time.
When Niskins and Rep arrived at the fish and chip shop, they found Jackie Millions crying as he wiped down the fat fryer for what would be the very last time. Niskins got down to business straight away.
We received information that Mayor Sutherland's ghost has reappeared here.
This is a very difficult time. Please leave me alone.
When they had left Jackie Millions' shop, pausing only to take a large box of wooden forks, a basket of complimentary salt sachets, 6 cans of cola, and the formica table the bottles of vinegar stood on, the two detectives discussed the bizarre scene they had just witnessed.
I remember from my training at the academy that crying is a sign of guilt. The criminal can't live with the mental and emotional burden of their terrible crimes, so they start crying.
I never went to the academy or did any training, so I didn't learn that, but it sounds very interesting.
Yes, and something else that occurred to me whilst we were watching Jackie Millions crying is that murderers are often individuals who are known to other people.
I think we need to pay a visit to Jackie Millions' house, don't you?
I do indeed. I do indeed.
Do you?
I do indeed.
10 minutes later, Niskins and Rep's car skidded to a halt across the front lawn of Jackie Millions' home, and the two detectives jumped out and began banging furiously on the front door. When Jackie Millions' wife answered the door, Niskins and Rep went on the attack immediately, giving her no chance to think of any clever psychological tactics to avoid giving them the information they needed.
Hello. Did your husband Jackie Millions murder Mayor Sutherland?
I don't think so.
It was another dead end. That night, after they had returned to the detective bureau, Niskins and Rep told Monica, Chief Gonzalez's secretary, about how their investigation had stalled.
You don't need to worry about that anymore. Some other policemen came here this afternoon to arrest Chief Gonzalez, and he's already been hanged for his horrible crime.
One less criminal on the streets.
Thanks to Niskins and Rep.
What will you do now that Chief Gonzalez has been hanged and doesn't need a secretary anymore?
Well, I'll probably have to go and work in the jam jar factory, I suppose.
Later that night, as Neeskins and Rep were driving around the town looking for crime, the ghost of Mayor Sutherland appeared again in the back of their car.
Please ensure you observe the speed limit, Detective Neeskins. It's important that the police force sets a good example for other road users.
We solved your murder, and the guilty man has been hanged for it.
Guilty man? But I wasn't murdered by a man. I'm fairly sure it was a woman who pushed me in front of that car whilst I was inspecting the new cattle grid.
So an innocent man has been put to death?
Yes, but he probably committed some other unsolved crime, so he deserved to swing.
That's right.